Anyway, I before we start, I want to make some, you know, like the few announcements before we get to the VAD. The first announcement is, I don't know if any of you realize, because you're such mass medium and everything else, but this man is over in around 2 weeks. Is that correct? Basically, what day does this man end?
Wednesday.
So 2 weeks and a day. What? Okay. 2 weeks and a day. Now, why is that very important? Excuse me. Because one of the most important, biggest, you say this in Musar, I forgot my fancy English. Focusing, I don't know, there's a different word for it, I forgot the word for it. Rabbi Yisrael, in the Or Yisrael, writes, he explains the Midah of Anava. So he says, Midah of Anava is, you meet someone who's older than you, and you say, oh, he's older than me, he must be smarter than me, he must have more mitzvahs than me, after all, he's older. So you respect him. You meet someone who's younger than you, you say, oh, he's younger than me, he must have less averus than me, you know, he's much better off than me, so I respect him. Rabbi Yisrael asks, it's a stira. So he says, yeah, of course it's a stira. But that's what a person is mechuyev to do. So what a person's able to do is you have to take any situation you're in and focus it in a way that'll give you the right inspiration. So you want to have anava to this person, so you focus on his old age. If the other person have anava, you focus on his young age. Anyway, a person can focus on the fact that this man is almost over, and that can be tremendous. Now, it could also, oh, it's almost over, so it's over already, so why should I learn? But that's not what you're supposed to do. You can focus is, by focusing that this man is almost over, first of all, that can be very inspiring, because there's a rule in life, even in the Geisha world, and it's in Chazal also, Hakol Horech Acher HaSoif, right? It's a Hadin and Halacha, which means in secular world, if you were in course, and you didn't do well the whole term, and then you dig out a final, and you did well on the final, you'll still get a good grade on the report card. Because basically, the grade at the end of the year goes by the end. So the question of how well you did the whole year, to a certain extent, goes how well you do the next 2 weeks. If you do well the next 2 weeks, so in Lumdis, and psychologically, and as far as building out for the future, you feel you had a great spot. If you do crummy the next 2 weeks, you say, wasn't a good year. And then you come into the next man, you're all, you know, already negative. So it's very, these are like the two most important weeks of this man, because this is the end, and that's where you get your final grade. Second of all, human nature is that when something is short, it's much easier to do. You know, it's a long man. It's tiring. It's exhausting. Oh, I'm so tired. I really am so tired. But it's so exhausting. But when you get to the end, even if you're exhausted, you can get your adrenaline pumped, right? The guy's running a race, and he sees the finish line. That gives you, you know, your energy. You're almost there. Ah, there's the finish line. So when you focus on the fact that you're 2 weeks to the end, if you do it properly, it can inspire you to do much better in the learning. One is because the whole thing goes after the end. Two, because it's much easier. It's just 2 weeks. So that's what we got to do. Okay. That was my first announcement. Okay, for those who didn't know. Now, the second announcement, I was debating back and forth if I should make this announcement, but I'm going to say it anyway. I assume everyone knows, and if you don't know, okay, you don't know. I was debating, is, you know, the minhag in the world is that we hide from reality. So sometimes people, but I'm going to tell the reality. Anyway, there was a levaya about right before Purim. I think it was right before Purim, right? There was a young boy who was nifter, right? I don't know, no one knows for sure, but the pashtus is that he killed himself. I don't know if people know. I think most people know. Why is that important to know? Because it's important to know that such things can happen. Because Be'ez Hashem, you people will be mechanchim, and you're in the dorm, and you're together with high school kids, and it's high school kids are, it's not prevalent. I don't want to say it's prevalent. This is the first time since I've been in Miami that this has happened. I'm here for like 15, 16 years. So I'm not saying it's prevalent, but it can happen. And if it can happen, then people have to keep their eyes open. And what it's a problem that people walk around with the illusion that these things never happen. And what everyone says, that before anyone does commit suicide, they usually tell people. Because almost everybody, obviously there's no rules, but generally speaking, people don't want to commit suicide. There's a conflicting emotions. There's a very, very strong emotion in a person that they want to live. On the other hand, people commit suicide because they feel they have no brera, because life is hopeless. They're very depressed. It's a sickness. Okay, it's a sickness. We all know that most people commit suicide as a sickness. It's not even their fault necessarily. It's depression. Okay, but the maisa, so they feel that life is hopeless. So they have no choice. It's too painful. But what they usually try and do is they usually let out a notice before they actually do it, because they're hoping that someone will help them and solve their problem. So usually, obviously not always, but usually before a person actually commits suicide, he lets people know. He doesn't necessarily walk over to a person and say point blank, I am about to commit suicide, doesn't usually do that. But they usually hint to it. They usually do things that they are merames. And if a person, and it's important for guys to know that, because if you're aware of that, if a guy says something to you, life is not worth living, I think I'm going to jump off the roof, I don't know, they say these things. So instead of thinking they're a big joke, you got to take it seriously. It is very, very important. I really can't emphasize enough, because it does happen. I know Rabbi Begida had some cases where Baruch Hashem he succeeded in stopping it from happening, but there have been. It's not totally out of the realm of possibility, and therefore, if you're mature adults and you're going to be mechanchim, you have to know, right? And if you're going to be in chinuch, especially, and even if you're not in chinuch, if you're in the dormitory, you got to know that such a thing can happen, and you have to keep your eyes open. In general, a lot of crazy, crazy things happen in yeshivas. What I was saying is, yeshivas like to cover everything up because it gives them a bad reputation. So we don't like to say anything. But in reality, the world is a crazy world. And since the world is a crazy world, it has a hashpah on, it gets in. They say, I forgot which god, though, I think they're Meir Simcha. He said, if it's snowing outside, then you feel the chill in the house. The snow might not come into the house, but the chill comes into the house. The snow's on the ceiling and on the walls, and the chill comes in. It's almost impossible to isolate yourself from the world. Especially in our circle, that we really don't do isolation. We're not like Meir Sharim. We're not totally isolated. So it's a crazy, crazy world. And if it's a crazy, crazy world, then all those crazy things come into yeshiva. And there's a lot of crazy things in yeshiva. We don't necessarily talk about it for Hesya, but there's a lot of crazy things, and you should be prepared. You should have your eyes open. Don't be in shock when something crazy happens, because if it happens outside the world, it can happen inside the yeshiva. That's the nature of the world. We're part of society. It's a crazy world, and we have cell phones and internet and newspapers and everything that conveys all these messages. But anyway, we're sticking to the top too. But when it comes to suicide, is a very, very terrible, terrible thing. Obviously, it's a terrible thing that a person's life is lost. Probably, we believe that probably, if the person wouldn't commit suicide very often, the problems can be rectified. people commit suicide, it obviously has tremendous fallout on many, many other people. Family members get hurt tremendously. You know, there's tremendous guilt. So it's a terrible, terrible thing. So you really do have to keep your eyes open. Okay. Those were my two messages. Okay. Now to start the Musar Vad. The Musar Vad, I wanted to respond to Purim with a beautiful Purim. Errol told me this was the nicest Purim we ever had. So I assumed that was a psakdin. And, you know, but it really was a very nice Purim. It was a very nice Purim. I think part of the reason was, I don't want to, you know, but I think part of the reason is obviously because we have a wonderful group of guys, right, obviously. But also, got to take some credit too, is that I think the guys stuck pretty much to the suggestion, that's what at least I was on, it looked that way, of drinking wine. And I think it makes a very big difference. You know, when you drink wine, you can get high, but you don't go, you don't lose it. You don't get rolling on the floor drunk and throwing up. So it makes a very big difference. It makes it much more enjoyable for everybody. Okay. But Lemaisa, there were some guys that were a little high. And there is a Yisayin. Yayin in Gematria is how much? What? 70. And so same thing is, what word is sod? So there's a chazal, nitlas yayin yotza sod. So there was a few sodis that did come out, including to myself. So I wanted just to deal with somebody said it's a piece that came to me a little bit, but it usually happens on Purim. I don't know why. I'm not a mumcha in why people think wine makes them happy. But I just see people crying. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the chat. You know, drinking is to make them happy, and they're just crying. But the mice, so I want to relate a little bit to some of the issues that were raised over Purim. Some of the Niklas Yain Yatzah side, at least some of the Yatzah side. So there's there's a sefer here, Maris HaGedayim. Maris HaGedayim is a very beautiful sefer. It's written by Rav Zaitchik. Rav Zaitchik is someone, the big Talmud Chacham, he's in Eretz Yisrael. So he tells the following story. It's basically, Maris HaGedayim is a very nice sefer. It's a light sefer. It's a nice sefer to read. It's stories about different, the Bawi Musar. So it's not, you know, stories of, you know, he grew up, he was born on this thing, but it's Musa stories. So they're very nice, they're easy to read, and they're short, and each Musa story has a Musa Hasko, and it's translated in English, also writes Sparks of Musa. Okay. Anyway, Pam Achaz, we shift up, so they used to have stories around Yisrael Salanter, but that's on all, that's on the altar, that's true. On the Chafetz Chaim, I think. Pam Achaz, shift up, Bekalchaz, Yireim, Bechasidav. He was, Rav Yisrael was sitting with his Talmidim. Sipra lo shnei sipurim. They told him two stories. Sha'admor echad, a mufursim. There was some famous admor. Admor usually replies to a chassidish rabbi. Nodav aseres alof and shkodim. He donated tens of thousands of shekel. Didn't know it was based on medrash, right? Apparently, I don't know how much tens of thousands of shekel is, but I assume that was a lot of money, right? So one guy, they told him it was just this certain chassidish rabbi, donated $1 million to build the base medrash. Okay. They also told me another story. Pam achaz niklu shnei aniyim. They came together, the two aniyim, avu b'no, gudim, neidim, near to here. They were traveling. They were going from city to city collecting the basic classes. They came to shul. Voyidah b'yom tanis etzah. So silbim me'yan yana d'yayma. Okay. Omer ha-ben ha'av. So the son said to the father, it was on tanis etzah, that give him some of the money that they collected. Liknas mas and tais, the time, so he can buy some good food. They're fasting all day. And now he wants to eat after the fast. He wants to have a good meal. So they collected money, and Tainus Esther. So let him get some of the money so he can buy a nice meal. One of them, no. The Ben Omar. So the father said, to have a meal, we don't need to spend too much. Whatever we buy, you can buy stale bread, you know, It's yaitze. We won't be hungry. Good enough. Mutavana, we should better. Let's save the pennies. Shosafnu. The shame kiyam mitzvahs machzis hashekel. Right? In other words, they were paupers. They raised a little bit of money. So the son wanted to go buy some decent food because he was hungry. And the father said, we should just eat something very cheap and we'll save the money for machzis hashekel. Machzis hashekel is not very much. Machzis hashekel, right, was $1.50. Right? In the yeshiva. I don't know how it was in Europe. Okay. Bifnei Megidda. So, Bishmoa, Rabbi Yisrael, Ashnei HaSipurim, Omar. So, Rabbi Yisrael heard the two term Omar. Godo v'no HaSipur HaShenim min HaRishon. Right? It's a very gewaltig thing. So, you got two people. One person gave $1 million. Right? Very, very, very nice donation. He's building a whole shul. The other guy gave machzis hashekel, $1.50. And who's a bigger tzaddik? The guy who gave the $1.50. Right? Which means that there's a tremendous hashkafa here, which is very, very important, that we do not, hashkar v'einesh is not governed by quantity. Hashem is not judging you by quantity. It's by how much you overcome your nisyonos. Right? So it was harder for this ani to give the machzis hashekel than for the rich guy to give his $1 million. So the ani gets more schar. Ah, he's doing less. You know, his machzis hashekel is not going to do anything. The other guy's building a whole yeshiva and has his name on it. And it's, you know, the so-and-so campus. And it's in Yeshiva World News about the big thing that he did. But the in Shemayim, I'm not sure if you make the Yeshiva World News, but in Shemayim, the Ani who gave a penny and a half, $1.50, is a bigger tzaddik. Now, that doesn't just apply to stucco. It applies to everything. So there's a piece there by Evan Yisrael. Evan Yisrael is people, not such a famous sefer, but we just recently quoted it in one of the Musa groups. Evan Yisrael is, Rav Yisrael Salanter used to say, drushes. And somebody wrote up his drushes, not Rav Yisrael himself, but someone else. And that's called Evan Yisrael. And it's found in the back of some of the Or Yisraels. So some of the Or Yisraels have printed, it's a separate sefer called Evan Yisrael. Right? I once, many, many years ago, when I was doing the Chidushi Alev, so Yom Rashiva had an amazing memory. It was like amazing. I could ask him any shmooze he said in the last 30 years, and I could discuss it with him. I could just, like, amazing. So I asked him, where is the Mara Makom of a certain shmooze? So he said, so it's in the Or Yisrael. So I said, give me an Or Yisrael. He takes, you know, starts flipping the pages, like in 2 seconds. No. Anyway, about 2 minutes, he flipped through all the pages of Or Yisrael. Not there. Ah, it's Evan Yisrael. Okay. And he found it. Okay. Anyway. So, but the, anyway, so it was the Evan Yisrael. So the Maisa here, this, the Evan Yisrael says as follows. Shekol adam chayev likvoa al koponim itim l'tayra. Every person has to spend time learning. Vafilo gas hamayach. Even a person, gas hamayach means, I don't know how you translate it. Anyone know how you translate it? What? Thick-headed, okay. Something like that, right? I don't exactly. You have to have a nice way of saying it. So, but that's basically the idea. He's Veivarav, Mutsakim, Ruim Lemach. In other words, he's built for physical labor. Gamkin, Ene Yachol Ifter, Asam Izeh. Near the Mukha Mikrochi, the Rafkin Piflam and Ifra. Because Hashem only made a mouth to learn Torah for a Jew. I don't know, that's an interesting raya. Ki ain't Siva Yaboyre, Lagia, Oyadia, Bishlamis. The mitzvah of learning is not to know Bishlamis. The job is not to finish. The job is to work hard, continuously, with all your energy. Kemaim rechazav lo ata ben chorim, lebe ata ben chorim, lebe ata ben chorim. What? Mi pata mimenu? Mi pata mimenu. Okay. It's a song, right? You should know that. It's also Mishnah in Perkei Avos. It shouldn't be that because of him he doesn't know. Oz, afilu lo yada meuma. Then I want you to read these words very carefully. Afilu lo yada meuma, hu tzadik gomer. You got a guy who knows nothing, right? Yada meuma. Meuma means nothing. Means he learns and he gets nowhere. He knows nothing. Right, that's pretty bad. I don't think anyone in this yeshiva has reached that point yet. So he knows nothing. Who tzadik gomer? He's a tzadik gomer. Va'ov yitzer etzai kol baruch, and Hashem loves him more. Mimi sheisek b'seichlo heinek gadol min atar. Right, we actually did this once in a shmooze, but I'm sorry repeating it. But right, you have two people. One person did a heinek gadol min atar. That's pretty impressive. Right. Big Talmud Chacham. And the other guy knows zero. But the person who did Chedek Godom in Atari is Abelo Yegiyah. He did it without work. Mirovs Chos Siklo Mehirus, because he has a good head. Shehulo Yemayer, hopefully, he won't go so quickly to God add him. V'adrab a Yerish Gehenim. A Yerish Ishtash Luso. So you got two guys. One guy is a Godom Ador in learning. Pretty scary. And he might go to Gehenim because he didn't work hard. And the other guy knows zero. And he'll go, he's the most loved person in the world. Okay. Anyway, so these two chazals go together, which are very important chazals, is that this the first one was by Stucker. Doesn't pay. The goal is not to give that $1 million. Right? The goal is the Mesiras Nefesh. If you give, you know, what you have. When the serious nefesh, you're a tzaddik. The goal is not to learn a lot. The goal is to try. So the guy who tries and he knows nothing is a bigger tzaddik than the guy who's a big tzaddik. Now, what's true is he won't get the kavod. But that's good, right? Because kavod is a big problem. Kavod detracts from the mitzvahs. If we're trying... The Alter Sabaka wrote a whole thing how to avoid kavod, because when you get kavod, kavod takes away from the mitzvahs. Rav Shiva used to always say, one of Rav Shiva's favorite things he said the most was that the last thing he heard from Rav David is Rav David said, Baruch Hashem, I never got kavod in this world. I think that was the last thing. Maybe it was the next to last thing. The last thing is that he told him that my Rebbe, the Alter, said which kapitel tell him to say. But the last statement in life, whatever, was that Baruch Hashem, I never got COVID. So it's good not to get COVID, because when you get COVID, it's very, very hard to do mitzvahs Hashem Shemayim. You want to do mitzvahs Hashem Shemayim. If you get COVID, how can you do a mitzvah Hashem Shemayim? It's almost impossible, because human nature is that people enjoy COVID. So if you know that they're going to write up about you in Yeshiva World News, it's hard to do it to the Shem Shemayim. But you give your penny to your machzor shekel to Sukka, and you know it's not going to make it to the news. So you can do it to Shem Shemayim. You're the guy who's learning, and you know Mu'uma. There's no kavod, right? It's kavaldik. You can do it to Shem Shemayim. In the, we have, we have in the, in Gittin, we have the Torah's Gittin. So in some editions, there is printed the tzava of the Nesivis in the beginning of the Sefer. Nesivis lived in the 1700s. So the Nesivis told his children that they should learn every day Chumash Rashi. Why should they learn Chumash Rashi? Because he said, when you learn Gemara, it might not be totally the Shem Shemayim, because you get covered for learning Gemara. But for Chumash Rashi, you don't get any kavod. So you should learn Chumash Rashi. At least some of your learning should be the Shem Shemayim. And he says that I was makbid myself to every day learn Chumash Rashi for that reason. says at the end of my life, I was too busy, I couldn't do it, but I wanted to do it. Which means that the Nesivis didn't trust himself, that when he learned, he was doing it Hashem Shemayim, without the Negiah of Kavod. So whenever we learn, the Negiah of Kavod comes in. So it's great. Okay, anyway. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number one is that the Ikara learning is not what you know, is the work. So those people that get down because they don't know anything, no reason.
Doesn't really also add that there's a
Maila
to finish it?
Yeah, okay, it's a Maila. But the Ikar Schar, he says, is you're trying. Now, I have a tremendous kasha here. Here's my kasha. There's a Medrash Tanhuma. I don't know if I can make it through to the end of the vod. My voice is going, but we'll try and make it. The Medrash Tanhuma says as follows. Omar Eidio, the Zichron of Racha. Pam Achaz. That's for me. Wow, what a tzaddik. Okay, thank you. I have to explain that. My wife screams at me that I don't make my brachas out loud. I told her, I never saw the Rosh Hashiva make brachas out loud. She says, I don't know all these ladies throw up brachas out loud, but it's not the, it's, as far as I know, it's not the Messiah, you know. So I asked Rav Aaron Schachter, is it the minute to make brachas out loud? He said, no. So I don't know, but definitely Rav Shaim, some people used to say you should make them out loud, but I don't know, I never saw my Rebbe make them out loud. That's the same thing as sneeze. I don't know. Anyway, ask Rabbi Harris.
Could have hurt to say that loud.
Yeah, because you're making, it's like gaiva and production. You're supposed to be, you're serving Hashem privately. It's sneeze. Yeah, I know. My wife drives me crazy about that. All the ladies' books are about the power of a maid. There's in the neighborhood here, there's someone in the neighborhood, Lo Aleinu, that's sick, and they're having a brachas party. Well, you know what a brachas party is. Everyone makes brachas, everyone answers amen. And that's it for Rafua Shalema. The world is very big in this, but they never had that when I grew up. This is a new invention. So I don't like new inventions. I don't know. It might be, but it's still a new invention. You know what I mean? Like they found the source, but they never did it. Just like Purim costumes. Right? It wasn't done. You say, well, there's a source. Yeah, there is a source, but they never did it. So it's not, whatever, it's not the Messiah, as far as I know. They say Reb Steinman was big on it. I agree. They say not to be big. I'm not saying not to do it. I'm just apologizing why I didn't do it. Because I'm a stubborn person. Anyway, so let's say it like this. Omer Eliyahu going to Vacha. Pamachas, we got to go back quickly already. Pamachas, I was walking on the road. Umatzatzi Adamecha, and I found one person. For Yamadi Glimit Slices B, and the guy was making fun of me. Amarti Lo. I said to him, it's a misprint. Mata Meshav Yamadin. Akashamatayra. You know, you're making fun of me. What are you going to do? Come to Shemayim. You're an Amoret. Amrlo. Yeshiro. Shabina Vitas. Vitation. Not to Mishamayim. I have an answer. Hashem didn't give me Bili Seichel. So if I was Elio Anavi, what would I have told him? So what? Didn't you learn the Evan Yisrael? So what if you don't have Seichel? So you'll be an Amoret. You'll know nothing. But you still got to learn. You got to do the Yagia. You got to try. You got to push. The mitzvah is to learn. It's Lo Alecha Malacha Ligmor. Right? But that's not what Eliyahu told him. What's your job? I'm on the side of his donkey. I trap animals and fish. Who gives you the wisdom to do all that? So he answered, Bina Vidash on Mishma, Hashem gave me the wisdom. Amarti also Yom Navi said, Likacha es hapishten arek vistos v'lekachta dog v'hoifis not the bina v'das. Hashem gave you enough wisdom to be a trapper. Aval liktos es a tayret, al liktos a bina. But to be kind of tayret, he didn't give you das, it can't be. Ksif ki karav yelecha adar ma'ob b'fich levavcha la'asos. Okay. Now the Yom Navi told him that it's not true. You could become a Talmud Chacham, right? So what's going on here? It's a stira, right? In other words, why is it a stira? Because Rabbi Yisrael says that the answer is that you're right. You don't have to be a Talmud Chacham. You know, Hashem doesn't want the Talmud Chacham. Hashem just wants you to try. But he says, no. Hashem wants a Talmud Chacham, and you could be a Talmud Chacham. So apparently the answer is that they are both right. In other words, in theory, if the guy tries and he remains an Am Haaretz, he can still be a bigger tzaddik than the other guy who knows everything. But if he tries harder, he won't be an Am Haaretz. Right? In other words, looking at me like I'm crazy. No? You have three people. The first guy, he's brilliant, but didn't try so hard, he goes to get him, even though he knows Kol HaTarikula. The second guy tried hard, and he doesn't know anything. He's Mamish, Hashem loves him. But there's a third guy, or the same guy, if he would try even harder, he would become a big Talmud Chacham. If he doesn't try, he's not going to have a tine on him, because listen, it's really hard to try really hard. Over the Maisa, even he can become a Talmud Chacham, which means that there are really two answers. To the guy who says that my brain is gas and I can't learn, there are two answers. One is, even if you don't succeed, Hashem loves you because you're trying hard, and the schar goes for trying. And even if you don't succeed, you're a tzaddik gomer, you'll get Gan Eden, amazing. But there's another answer. If you work really, 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 really hard, you'll succeed. And that's also important. Why is that important? Because if you just tell the person the first answer, then the guy won't bother working hard. Because, yeah, listen, that's why I have a brain. This is the way I am. I have this brain that's gas. So, listen, you know, I can't do more than that. Right? So the answer, the second answer, the answer is that the Maisa, there's no such thing. And this is important. It's not just in learning, too. It's a guarantee. Yeah, he says it has to be. Right? And he all told him, he brought him a right. He said, it can't be. And it doesn't just apply to learning. It applies in everything. See what I wanted to say, because I wanted to... There's a major difference between, I think, Torah, Hashkafa, and psychologists, which I'm not really sure because I don't know too much about psychology, and I also don't know too much about Torah, Hashkafa, but I still think it's a machlekes. Meaning, a guy has a problem. He has a psychological problem, right? Whatever his psychological problem is, he has something unusual about him. He likes to kill people. Okay. He enjoys killing people. Right? So, now, and he kills people. Right? We're exaggerating, but okay. So, everybody agrees that the first step is you have to tell them, listen, you know, if you have, Hashem judges each person the way he is. If you're born with this mida that you enjoy killing people, then it's not really your fault. And you could be a tzaddik, even though you're killing people. Because, listen, if you go ahead and you're dealing with your problem and you deserve tremendous credit, you have this desire to kill people and you only kill people every other day instead of every day. Wow, right? You know, that's what we say to people. A guy has tremendous tivus, and we say that you control yourself 50% at a time. Wow, you know that's what we do tell the guy, right? That's what he said, the guy. So everyone, both Torah and psychologists say that even though you're being nichshol a certain amount of time, you can't get depressed because you're judged the way you are, the way you're nisayin. you might have a much harder nisayin than other people. And therefore, you don't have to, it's not, you know, Hashem can still love you. You might be a bigger tzaddik than the other guy. Ah, you kill people every other day. Yeah, but only every other day. And the other guy has no time to kill people. And you do, and you control yourself 50% of the time. What a tzaddik you are, right? Right? That's what we tell the person. But here is where I think the Torah and the psychologists veer off. So the psychologists say, listen, this is who you are, and you got to learn to accept it, and that's how you are, and you should don't be depressed because that's how you are, and okay, and you're a tzaddik for doing, you know, this is who you are. And in the Torah, Ashkafe is, you're not a horrible person because this is who you are, and you might even be a tzaddik because you're dealing with your issues, and even though you're nichshol sometimes, you still could be a tzaddik. But lemaisa, you can change. And that's a big difference. Psychologists don't like to say lemaisa, you can change. Because if they tell lemaisa, you can change, then the guy's going to feel guilty that I didn't change. So psychologists, their whole thing is to make the guy, psychologists hate guilt. Guilt is the depression, that's what they hate. So their whole thing is, this is how you were born, and this is how you are, and you can't change yourself, and you have to learn to accept yourself for the way you are, and you have to be happy with who you are, and if you're born with a seicho agas, and that's who you have, a seicho agas, and you have to learn to accept it, and you have to accept it, that's who you are. You have an IQ of 25, you got to accept, you got an IQ of 25, and just live life that way. You have a certain tivus, and that's so you have certain, you know, whatever emotions. You have to learn to live, you know, accept that's who you are. You were created that way. Accept that yourself. It's like if you're, you know, just like you have to accept that you're not the most handsome person in the world, you have to accept that you're not the most athletic person in the world. So you have to accept that you have, this is your, right? And it makes sense because when you tell a person to accept it, you get rid of the depression. And depression is the worst. Everyone knows depression is bad. So we would also say that. Because we also say that. We say, listen, this is who you are. And that's Rav Eben Yisrael. And Hashem loves you because you're doing tremendous. But we still add a second speech also. Hashem loves you and we accept you the way you are. And even if you don't change, it could be you're a tzaddik because you're dealing with your handicap tremendously. And you deserve tremendous praise for dealing with your handicap. But we also throw in, but the Maisa, you should know that you could change. Because another Shiva told me there's a pasuk, Elokim Oses Adam Yasher. I don't know where that pasuk is. I don't remember offhand. And I probably misquoted the pasuk too. But I think that's the pasuk. That Hashem created the person Yasher. That intrinsically a person is Yasher. And it's just like he says in Medrash Tanchuma, that everybody can become a Talmid Chacham. Everybody. That's what it says. So everybody can have proper midos. And everybody can be yosher. That's the intrinsic being of a person. Sometimes, for some reason, it's harder. Because you have handicaps. But it doesn't mean you can't do it. So there's... I'm trying to have my cake and eat it. And it's a very hard thing. On one hand, we don't want people to get depressed because people very often are not there yet. And you have to tell people, the Eben Yisrael, that even if you know, if you got nowhere, you know Mu'uma, you know nothing, you still have your problem, you didn't fix your problem, you accomplished nothing in your problem, but the Maisa, you're dealing with your problem. You're learning afal pikein. You're controlling your yetzahara afal pikein, whatever it is. Right? You're not being mizana, even though you have this tremendous taiva, whatever it is. You're a tzaddik. Once in a while you're nichsho and you do this and that. Okay, but considering what your taivas are and whatever, you're a tzaddik. And that's Rabbi Trapper would definitely give that speech, if you know those who knew Rabbi Trapper, 50 million times a day. That the guy, for the fact that you are a, you know, you have to focus on what you're accomplishing. That your nisyanis, with your accomplishing is amazing. Other people have you were born with your problems. Other people with seichel gas are not learning a word. Other person would be born with your level of personality are on somewhere in Greenwich Village. I don't know, whatever they're doing in Greenwich Village. But right? But you're sitting in yeshiva learning. It's amazing. You're a tzaddik. You're amazing. That's what Rabbi Trapper would always say. But there's a second speech that you have to say with it. Because if you just stop there, then people don't, I'm a tzaddik, so I don't have to work on it. The second speech is, Lemaisa, even so, if you really, really, really worked hard, you can fix your problem. And you can become a Talmud Chacham, and you can fix all your Yetzaharas, and you can misaken all your Midas, and if you have a temper, you can get rid of your temper. Whatever your problem is, you can solve it. It's a very important thing. Because otherwise, people go ahead, and if you just follow the psychologist's approach, that's what I think, then people don't bother fixing themselves. Because this is the way I am. This is the way I am. I can't do anything about it. That's how Hashem created me. What do you want from me? But we say, no. The Maisa, maybe, I don't know whether Hashem made you that way or he didn't make you, it's irrelevant. But it's fixable. It might be very hard. And if you don't fix it, we're not saying you're a Rasha Marusha. You might still be a bigger tzaddik than anyone else, right? That's what Rabbi Yisrael says clearly, that if you know Mu'uma, you're ohev to Hashem. But the Medrash Tanchuma says that the Maisa, you have the potential not to know ohev, right? In other words, Rabbi Yisrael said that even when you're still at the stage of not knowing Mu'uma, Hashem loves you tremendously. But the Medrash Tanchuma says that the truth is that you could become a big Talmud Chacham. And they're talking to the same person. They're talking to a person who has the Seichel Hagas. This is this guy, this fisherman. He thinks all he can do is catch fish. He's not a head for learning. So they're talking to the same person because they're both right. And it's a very, very important message. Anyway, so that's my message for Purim, that we have to be happy without drinking. Because drinking just makes people sad. I don't know why anyone, whoever said that drinking makes people happy, okay, I don't get into an argument. Okay, get myself in trouble. That was a very nice Purim. Baruch Hashem. The guy got a big Yashar Koyach. It was a really very nice Purim, but I think this is a tremendous Musar Haskel, even if we said it before, that on one hand, we can't be down if we don't accomplish, because Hashem judges us by how hard we work. And even if we accomplish nothing, we get tremendous schar. But on the other hand, there is a rule of B'derek Shadam Rosh Tzaleinich Molichim also, and even says by Staka, if a person really wants to give a lot of Staka, then eventually it gets the Atta Deshmaya to get the money and to give a lot of Staka too. It says that somewhere in the Sfarim. That if you really try hard, you do succeed. And therefore, we can't just patter ourselves by saying, listen, I'm a tzaddik, because I'm trying hard. We can feel good about ourselves that I'm a tzaddik, that I'm trying hard. But the mice said we gotta try harder. And okay. Shikayach.